Okay. Good morning, folks. Welcome back, insiders. Hello to all of our listeners. Welcome back to this episode of the QS Cast. Joined as always by Tarkan. Good morning, Tark, or evening.
Good morning, buddy. How you doing?
Good morning, everybody. Day off. So what better thing to do than wake up and rush to talk about card prices and Magic the Gathering?
That's
the best thing to do.
That is the best thing to do in the morning, man.
Yep. Get wake up at six because of the cat, and then don't go back to sleep, and then talk about Magic the Gathering.
That's right. Really quick before we jump into the cast, yes. Chaz.
Go ahead.
Want to let everybody know we have a beta of Trade Routes that is up. Before people freak out and blast my DM or anything, it does not push to carts yet. However, it is like a full beta, and if you message me, I should be able to get you guys a link to play around with it. yes, Phil, it's up. It's pretty awesome. Actually, it's very awesome. The best, I would say, the what I found to be the most impactful new feature is that it shows you multiple merchant offers. So once you upload a list, you can not only see, you will select your preferred merchants, and then you can see all the additional offers, including the quantity of copies that all are buying. So let's say you're the best merchant in your, or the best in your preferred merchant list, the best price is for ABU, and they're buying 5 copies and you have 10. Well, it'll then list, okay, well, Card Kingdom is buying 7 copies and they're the next best. Or if Card Kingdom is only buying 4, it'll say Card Kingdom is buying 4 and Strike Zone is buying 1. It's fantastic, yes. So there is a beta. I can probably get some people in there. I'll talk to Kelly and Tyler Tisdall and see what we can do. So just shoot me a message. Hopefully I won't get too flooded with DMs. I don't know if I can get everybody in there. I don't know what they want to do just yet, but we do have a beta that I can probably get some people into. So that's big news. Just want to make sure I put that out there.
Yeah, it's definitely really solid. I mean, this is something that they've been working on for a while. It's definitely a powerful tool for sure. Yep. So second little mini announcement. So this is going to be, we're actually casting twice today, as we're recording. We're casting once in the morning, my time and evening Tark's. And then we're switching it. We're going to cast late my time, early for Tark. So later today for mostly everyone. So Tark, we don't really go on your time. But we actually have a guest coming on. So we're going to have Jordan on, Tarkan, you can explain a little bit more about that. We're going to be talking about, the tax implications of the laws that were just recently passed. I know we got a lot of questions about that in the Discord. We got a lot of questions about that in the Discord. We had a lot of, discussions. So instead of having a lot of hearsay and just, not a lot of folks really understanding the particulars, we're just going to have a tax accountant come on and talk to us about it. So I think that'd be the best course of action.
Yeah. To my knowledge, nobody in at least the chat that was going on when they made the announcement, no one is a tax expert or a tax attorney or accountant. So I figured the best thing we could do instead of all this conjecture is go ahead and get a professional on to the cast to talk to us. So he will be here. He'll be able to answer all your questions. So hopefully we have plenty of people join in live and ask all the questions you want to know. He will, he's an expert. So, and he'll kind of dig into it and give us all the specifics we need to know about it. So very excited about that. I'm pretty sure we're probably one of the few places that is jumping on this as far as the Magic community to really dig deep and find out, how this is going to impact us. So I think it's going to be a really good cast. And yes, I will probably, I'll see about asking him for a pick just for fun, just so that we can, we can still add a little bit of fun to the cast. I'll see if I can get a pick. Yeah.
All right. So that being said, two casts today, they'll go up tomorrow. I know it's a Saturday, but, that's pretty much as fast as a turnaround as I can get. The basic theme, I guess, for today, we haven't really got to sit down, there's been a lot of, core 2019, Basically all of it spoiled, and I think or previewed slash spoiled, and I think basically by today we'll know the whole set, which is only like 30 cards left at this point. So we're recording now. I think in about an hour, the whole set will be released, but we pretty much know, you know, everything. I can't stress enough, I guess, especially during like spoiler seasons and, you know, these like hype periods that we kind of don that, that term, how important it is to be in the insider Discord, because nothing is going to even, you know, especially, you know, even podcasts, articles, anything is going to be as real time as, you know, the insider Discord. And it's pretty invaluable, not only for discussing new cards, but cards that are also impacted by new cards. So more recently, you know, an example of that just yesterday is Wall of Kelp. And it's, no, it's not like my pick or anything like that at this point, because that's like pointless. But it's just conversations like that, that, you know, if you're in the insider Discord, you're privy to those conversations, and you know, I mean, it's just vital time before the rest of the market kind of reacts to the rest of the information and those types of cards. So
I can't tell you how many Shield Sphere, how many $9 Shield Spheres were sold just from being in the Discord and you know, being, yeah, you know, current on it. So yeah, it was crazy.
Yeah, I mean, so like I've said to a lot of folks and a lot of insiders, and you know, I really appreciate, I mean, everyone just DMs and just here and there how much they appreciate the Discord, and it's amazing how far the Discord has come. I'm not trying to push it. I mean, I really am trying to push it, trust me, because it's like such an invaluable tool. But mostly the content just kind of, I mean, some content is going to offer, you know, you have content that offers actionable information, but, you know, it's kind of tricky because, you know, that content, you'll find that it's just kind of bolstering or, you know, co-signing and reinforcing all of these discussions and all this actionable advice that just goes on the Discord. But, you know, we try to keep everything fresh, but nothing is going to beat the Discord. I mean, really, it's hard to beat real time. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm like coughing a lot. So yeah, Core 2019, we haven't got to talk about it, but we got to talk a lot about it while stuff was being previewed and spoiled in the Discord. Firstly, I mean, I'll let you go first, Tark, but I mean, I have my thoughts on the set, just going a little bit deeper, just about the design and what I think about how Wizards has really come along with some of the past sets and really how well they're doing. But, you know, go with your take first.
Yeah, I actually don't have a lot to say, and I'm more interested in your perspective, Chaz, because I think you have a really, really good outlook on Core that I think some people may not have initially thought of. But overall, I think along with Battle Bond, these two sets are some of the best casual-focused sets that they've done in a long time. I mean, Core is loaded, and I'm going to let you kind of go into your sort of break down your thoughts on how you think it'll play out. But Core really is loaded, and going to happen is there's going to be marquee cards that are going to quote unquote overshadow other cards, and there's going to be a lot of cards that dip to like really low, and those cards are going to be fantastic pickups, and some might end up being really relevant and standard. Actually, it's just the set is stacked. There's just so much going on in the set from a variety of different angles. And while I don't think we have something that's like Teferi or, well, not really Teferi, but Karn, that's just so blatantly an obvious play that's going to be a powerhouse in standard. I think there's a ton of stuff in there that could easily be played in standard and could find a home. As far as the kitchen table, it's just there's just so much stuff in the set that's awesome. I mean, all the Elder Dragon Legends are great. So I think from a design standpoint, they knocked it out the park. I think it's going to be great. And actually, I'm more so interested, and I said this before in the previous cast, I think this is going to take over the steam of Battle Bond. I think Battle Bond is kind of come and go, Chaz. I know we think differently on that, but I think Battle Bond is going to be, you know, kind of, it's going to be a wrap on Battle Bond, and people aren't really going to be playing with it anymore. And there's going to be, like I said, there's going to be so many pickups in Battle Bond over the next 3 to 6 months because no one's going to really care about it anymore. And if boxes drop, if boxes drop to $80, $85, at $80, I'm a buyer. I think the Battle Bond boxes are primed to go up. So anything $80 or less is an easy pickup for me. But that's about it, man. I know. I think Core is awesome. This is the best Core we've seen in a long time. In fact, I think that because they did so well with this Core, people think that some things in there are stronger than they necessarily are, because past Core sets have actually not been as good as this one. This is probably the best Core we've had in like quite some time. I mean, they really did a fantastic job. So that's about it, man. I really want you to kind of break down your thoughts, because I think you have a good perspective, and yeah, kind of share.
Yeah. So, well, firstly, I guess just to your point, I don't really like the come and go like ideology, almost, because I mean, every set comes and goes, right? Like, I guess, like, in the sense I didn't want to dismiss the set, because then you miss out on opportunities like Najila that was pre-ordering for like $4 or $5, and then all of a sudden it's like $15, and we didn't even talk about foils, yeah. You know, and they're like almost $100 now. So I don't like to gloss over sets, because then you miss opportunities. But I think Battle Bond, I mean, we're still seeing effects of Battle Bond. I mean, in terms of, I think like there was like a card from 2016, Commander 2016. Like, I didn't even get to talk about it. I didn't even not even really know at this point until it was too late. It was like a green card, and it was like pretty much went from nothing to like $12. It was like this green warrior, Stonehoof something. I can't even remember at this point, but you know, so I just don't like to, you know, there's just opportunities. I think we're going to still see, a lot of effects from Battle Bond going forward, and just Battle Bond in general. Yeah, the Chieftain, Stonehoof Chieftain. Thank you, Chet. In terms of Core 2019, I think it's the most successful because it doesn't feel like a core set. Like, it actually does not even feel like a core set. Yeah, the theme of a core set is there. Like, they're kind of branching out into all these aspects of Magic the Gathering, these old storylines of the Elder Dragon Legends. You have all these like cool, you know, they're bringing in like all these different planeswalkers from different timelines. But it feels like a normal set, and it just feels really good to me. It feels like a well-designed set. Like, Origins was still pretty good. Origins was definitely up there in terms of, like, flavor. You had all these, different takes on the Planeswalkers. With the Flipwalkers, we really didn't see that before. There was a lot of interesting, new designs in terms of they kind of outsourced cards for design. So you got some interesting things there. But I think it took this set is taking Origins and largely just taking the past few like sets of design and just like improved on that. So it doesn't even feel like a core set anymore, other than the reprints, which I'll get to in a second. But I love the fact that even the Planeswalkers are designed in a sense that they're not just here's a Planeswalker with cut and paste like abilities, like an Omnixilis, or, you know, kind of cards that we've seen from the past, or even, you know, they try to create a new Planeswalker and it's still pretty similar to old Planeswalkers. Every Planeswalker in this set kind of has a very specific design in terms of, you know, Liliana Untouched by Death is more geared towards zombies and it has a theme. Even Sarkhan Fireblood has a dragon theme. Tezzeret, while very powerful, is very specific to artifact and an artifact theme. So I really love the sense that the Planeswalkers are representing a certain design. You have all these different cards to complement that. You know, you have dragons, you have demons, you have zombies, you have elves. So they're kind of taking a lot of different areas of Magic and kind of just like throwing them all together. And I think it worked very well because you have a lot of interesting cards that I think are flying under the radar. And so this is where I'm going into the reprints. They threw some really awesome marquee reprints into the set. And don't get me wrong, like, I love the Crucible World, Scapeshift, Omniscience. Those are really awesome reprints and definitely add a value to this set. But I, you know, when I look at this set, and for those of you that, you know, have, you know, seen my discussions over the past few days and Insider, when I talked about, you know, some of the dragons, like, I'm just using this as an example, like Palladia Moors or even Arcades now, the Strategist, where these cards are like flying under like $4 or $5 under the radar. And even a lot of the, you know, we don't really have like a $30, you know, we don't have like a Teferi or a Karn of the set yet. I mean, Nicole Bolas is definitely up there so far in terms of pre-order prices, and Resplendent Angel is also as well. I just kind of feel like there's going to be a lot of value, perceived value, in those reprints of, you know, $20 Omniscience and $40 Crucible Worlds and $25 Scapeshift. A lot of that value is just going to be dropping in those cards. And I feel like, you know, it has to go to the core set staple or the core set specific cards. So I feel like, you know, there's definitely some stuff that is flying under the radar. I don't know what that is yet. I mean, you look at cards like Chromium. I know it's very specific to a control theme. You may not even play more than a one of, but we've seen in the past that, you know, high end control staples, especially finishers, end up getting there in terms of price tag. And we've seen that. I mean, it was kind of funny because we were talking about this. I was an insider at the time where Pearl Lake Ancient, you know, during that Pro Tour spiked. I mean, it was very brief, but I mean, we saw that card go to like $10 and it was literally only played in one archetype and as a control finisher, and it was mythic. So I get it, but I'm just thinking, I mean, we're going through this and it just feels like a lot of the stuff is going to be flying under the radar, maybe more so in the rares, but certainly in the mythics. I can't see like all of these cards being $5 now. So after pre-order, they're like, what, less than that? Like, that can't be right.
Yeah. I mean, for me, I think the dragons are a great place to start, for sure. I also think that these obvious sideboard, modern sideboard cards are really interesting too, because a lot of them are like $3 pre-order. We're going to go in, you know, 30 to 60 days in, they're going to tank, right? I think a lot of them could end up, the black one was the one that I was really interested in, the one that exiles a colorless creature for a black mana and you gain life. I mean, that's a great sideboard card for modern. And it's going to end up being probably, you know, $2 probably, yeah, at peak supply. I could see that end up being like Rest in Peace and shooting up to $4. So I definitely agree with you that there's going to be a lot of things that end up flying under the radar here because, you know, Scapeshift and Crucible are just...
And they're all mythic. Know, so, like, yeah. Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, and I'm saying, and they're all mythic, so it just kind of feels like this perception of, well, they're all mythic, so they're not going to lose that much value. I mean, at this point, like, Scapeshift only really needs one reprint, even at mythic, and it's going to decrease by a drastic amount, especially, and definitely Omniscience. Maybe not Crucible. Maybe Crucible retains some of its value, but I mean, I can't see a lot of these mythics in this set just, you know, started off as low pre-order, and I'm just using, again, like Palladium Moor is like $5. Sarkhan's like not really selling even at $12. Tezzeret, I saw, started at 25 and then got decreased to 20. So there wasn't even any interest at 25 for Tezzeret. The only really mythic I see moving a lot is Nicol Bolas, Resplendent Angel, and Chromium. And maybe that's enough. Maybe those three just continue to increase even more. Because again, they're core set specific. A lot of these, especially the three reprints, are going to lose a lot of their value. So that's got to get soaked up everywhere, or in a few cards. So I guess really what I see happening, the more likely of the two scenarios, is that the value just gets more evenly distributed because we have a lot of planeswalkers and a lot of these dragon, you know, legendary dragons. Original Legends dragons, where, you know, maybe they still hang out at, you know, $5-6 because, you know, Arcades, the Strategist, is really popular in Commander, right? Like, it spawned like this new archetype, which, you know, caused Wall of Kelps and Shielding Sphere and all that to increase. So there's definitely like new hype there because of the change in like an archetype going from literally one set of colors to the best set of colors in Commander is pretty intriguing. But I don't know. I just kind of feel like even in the rares, like there's some really good rares. And, you know, I see them pre-ordering, you know, for a couple bucks because they have Death Baron still at like $10. Like, what? That's not going to be right.
It's really interesting because if you look at Origins, we'll say, Origins had Jace and had what? Liliana. And that was basically
Jace, Liliana, and Nissa. Anyway, that was pretty much it.
But even Nissa didn't really get there as in the same way that Jace and Liliana.
No, it didn't.
But when I look at this set, I see five Elder Dragons, which all the casuals and EDH players are going to love. I see modern staples. I see modern new modern sideboard cards. I see planeswalkers that could see playing standard. This set is loaded. And
yeah, it's really loaded.
I just don't, you know, if for some reason this set starts to drop in EV over the summertime, these cards are just going to be, they're going to be pickups. Like maybe it doesn't hold $100 EV because it doesn't have the same impact as Dominaria, but it's loaded. And I mean, if these cards start to drop, they're going to all be pickups. With these sideboard cards, I mean, if they go down to like a dollar, you know, they're buys. They're going to see play somewhere. They're going to end up being like $2-3.
And we're not even going to see the real power test of Core 19, because I don't even think it gets a Pro Tour, right? Like we're on the Trio Pro Tour. I mean, I guess, yeah. I mean, we'll see a little bit of it, but it's not like it has its own Pro Tour to kind of showcase, completely dedicated to Standard. The next really, the pure next Standard Pro Tour is the October, you know, Ravnica Pro Tour. So, yeah, I think there's going to be a lot. There's going to be some cards that over the course of Standard we'll start seeing increase, because you know we have to go back to a core set and it's like a summer set. So you know the current Standard's kind of dying out. Everyone's kind of looking towards October. Like this is a really good set for the summer. It is loaded. It has a lot of different things for a lot of different players. And quite frankly, like it feels really well designed. I think Wizards is on a roll. Ever since, Kaladesh, really.
I think
really people just kind of discard Amonkhet block because it's still kind of, it associates with Kaladesh block, but I really loved Amonkhet block. I thought it was really good. But definitely, so if you want to throw out Amonkhet block, okay, but Ixalan is really where they started to shine. Like, Ixalan forward just feels so good. They are on a roll, especially with Ixalan. Then you had Rivals. Then you had Battle Bond, which is really good. You have this core set is really good. Like they've been nailing it. Like you know the Master sets were kind of like, but yeah, the Master set was kind of bad. But or Masters 25 rather, I feel like was kind of meh. But that aside, they've been really really solid. Yeah, just ignore that M25 set. Like just push that aside. Battle Bond did some heavy lifting for both of those sets. So, they've been on a roll. And I think this is just a continuation of that. I mean, if you're not excited for this current year of Magic, like going into October with Ixalan forward, with that, you know, Kaladesh is gone, Amonkhet's blood gone. If you're not excited for Ixalan forward, like, I really don't know. Like, I don't know what's wrong with you, really. Like, there's so much to be excited for. And even the supplemental product of Battle Bond was like incredible. So I don't know. This is definitely a continuation of that.
I don't think that Chain Whirler is going to make Standard boring. I think that there is going to end up being enough answers to that.
Yeah,
to
I that did say contact. That. I did say that, Verscott. Yeah, I did. Yeah, definitely right for sure. Yeah. 2018 was going to be kick-ass year. Yeah, definitely. It would feel really bad to ban Chain Whirler, but the problem is, yes, it keeps like it does mess with design, and I get that the X1s basically don't make it. But I just hate going. I mean, maybe we're at that point, and really, the only people to blame are the players, because we kind of asked for this. We always kind of complain about stuff instead of ever really figuring it out, and maybe that's attributed to just so much information being presented to us these days with social media and just posting a deck list and just finding it so easily at our fingertips. And this is not going into like, oh, net decking's bad stuff. Like, trust me, it's not going that route.
But this is what I'm curious. Hang on. While we're on this topic,
I think our first inclination is to ban now. Like, it's gotten to that point where it's like, we don't even like want to deal with this stuff anymore.
Well, what about this? What about that black card? Isn't there that horse or that mare in Core 19? Yeah, I mean, isn't that not, functionally the same thing?
No, definitely not. It's not nearly as good as Chain Whirler.
Well, I mean, it kills all the X1s. Primary problem, right?
But Chain Whirler is also a 3/3 with first strike. So it not only deals with X1 or X1s, it also deals with X3s.
It
pressures their planeswalkers. You know, that's so fair. It's okay. Doing a lot. Okay. Like the horse is like 1/3 of Chain Whirler.
That's fair enough. Okay. Okay. It only has a design problem
of like X1s.
I thought that was the oppressive part of Chain Whirler, though, was the wiping out the X1s. I thought that was the core problem. Like, if you took Chain Whirler and removed doing the damage, it's not that big. It's not that bad of an issue. But it's the fact that it wipes out all the X1s that causes it to be a problem.
Well, it pressures the opponent. It pressures the Planeswalkers. It wipes out their X1s and also deals with their X3s because it's a 3/3 first strike. So it's like not the horse is not even anywhere near as good as Chain Whirler. Like, yes, it's a right. hoser for X1s, but that's it. Like, Chain Whirler is doing a lot more than just the X1s. I don't think really people realize that. But, you know, I mean, Chain Whirler is also 3 red, so it really only goes into specific archetypes. And I don't think, I mean, people keep looking at Chain Whirler, but they don't realize the supporting cast around Chain Whirler still. I mean, Hazoret is still a broken card. Like, that is still in standard. So, right. You know, I don't know. Maybe they get rid of, Chain Whirler because they got rid of Rampaging Ferocidon. And that's like, at this point, is like a joke compared to Chain Whirler. But
yeah.
I don't know. I feel Core 2019 is a very, very solid set from what I've seen. And I think it's really successful because I never get excited for Core sets, especially like even Origins was like, yeah, it's cool, but it's like, whatever. Yeah, there's like some cool flip walkers and like, yeah, there's some cool cards and like, oh, you know, they outsource some design from like other designers from other games. Like, that's cool, but it's still a core set. This feels like an actual set.
Yeah.
Like this feels like a normal set that was designed and just happens to be a core set.
Are you a buyer right now on anything?
I am not.
Are you waiting?
I haven't really bought anything other than you had opportunities to buy into Resplendent Angel because that started off around like, you know, $12 and now it's selling pretty well for 20 at 25. But again, you can't, you know, there's a give and take here with the pre-order prices, and especially if you're using Star City Games and all these larger vendors as a metric, they can put price tags like that on a card and sell them on brand recognition alone.
Right.
You are not selling $25 like Resplendent Angels as well as Star City Games. So just kind of get that out of your head. Like, yes, it's good to kind of see if there's interest in a card. That is definitely a good thing to draw away. If like, oh wow, like they put up a card at $8 or whatever and it sold out instantly. Then they restocked it at $10 and it sold out instantly again. That is like something that you should track. But you are not going to be selling, you know, the same $25 card that Star City Games is selling. So if you buy this card for like 10, if you got into a card, let's just say for $10, and you're trying to sell them at, you know, what Star City Games is selling them at, you're like, oh, well, Star City Games is selling them at $25. Why can't I sell them at $25? You are not Star City Games. You are some random name on eBay or TCG player.
I think that's a very, very, very important takeaway, Chaz. And typically, like, I would say, to be honest with you, to be conservative, you should be looking at between 10 to 20% below Star City as an out point. So if you go, okay, I'm going to buy in at $12 and I think it's going to get to 25, well, then to be conservative and safe, I would say, you know, I'm going to sell it at $20, you know, hopefully I'm cleared, but you can't go in expecting, okay, great, it's spiking at Star City. No, it keeps going up. That means I'm just going to keep buying and keep selling it. Cause you're absolutely right. Star City can sell that because it's Star City. We're not Star City.
Yeah. And so, you also have to like bake that undercut price plus all of the fees that you're going to get.
That's right. That's right.
Into that's your right. pre-order purchase. So
hence why we, at least, well, Chaz, I mean, we, for a while we've been doing this. It's not, you should be buying the cheap. You should be buying at the 99 cent to $2 mark. That's where the best money is made. You're getting really, really risky when you start moving into $8, $10, $12, $15, you know?
Yeah, I mean, we've seen on a few occasions just like some mythics that were just like put up like that. There's no, that's the incorrect price.
Correct, correct. I'm just like, saying the on average.
Yeah, yeah. Like I'll just take one from recent memory, like Chandra Torch of Defiance. Like I remember that one starting at $15 and ended up like at $35, $40.
Yeah.
So there was definitely like there's definitely some variance there, but just always keep that in mind, especially in pre-orders. You know, and it's why most of the time we don't buy into a lot during pre-orders, but we've been pretty good at identifying the cards to pre-order if there is one, especially in this Discord. So you I love that reference, Oceans from Oceans 13. I love that reference, Carbreaker. I shook SCG's hand. You should know better. Yes.
Yeah, I like real quick to Papu. I like Papu. I like Issareth as well. Problem is, I don't like it at $3 right now for the reasons we have just been talking about for the past 2 minutes. I just $3 I don't think is a good buy-in point because it's gonna. I could see that tanking to around $1, and then it could get up to like $3 or $4 when it as a potential standard play. I like that one as well. I also like the demon, but Issareth and the demon are both two that I'm keeping my eye on. I just don't like them right now at $3 pre-order.
Yeah, Issareth is a really strong rare. And Sarkhan Fireblood, again, we go through those. The first 3-mana walker I finally got burned on was the Jace from Ixalan, and there's still time. There's still time. But it's just another one of those things where they're they're designing these 3-mana walkers, and people are like, oh, I don't know. Like, it kind of sucks. It doesn't, maybe. Just keep your eye on that. Another 3-mana walker. It's not selling particularly well now, but we'll see. Because I know they kind of put it up at $15. Didn't really sell. It's not really selling well from when I've been tracking it. And I've seen other large vendors follow suit at that $15 mark, and it hasn't really been selling either. So we'll see. Yeah, you're right. Jace's tokens don't die to Chain Whirler. That is a development. Wait, no, they don't. They do. Don't they? They get targeted by a spell or ability.
Are they targeted? I thought it just did one. I thought it just does one damage to everything.
I don't. I don't think. Correct. No target. Yeah. It does not target.
Yeah.
Okay. I wanted to double check. Chain Whirler. So yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the tech people are not seeing.
That Jace
tech. No, but there's a lot of value in the in the rares, and I feel there's going to be a couple rares that end up increasing, especially I just think there's it's not the same set of circumstances as normal sets because it is a core set, because it is that summer set. And I guess we'll use that term. It is going to come and go in terms of people are just kind of looking towards October. They want Kaladesh out of here. There's a summer meta that doesn't really matter. People are just going into rotation mode. But Graveyard Marshal, if there's even a semblance of some good zombie deck, that is such a good card.
Yeah.
I mean, it gets totally walled by Chain Whirler, but hey. And so does Issareth. Oh, man.
Many things do.
That's really why if Chain Whirler has to go, it's because it's not just the X1 stuff. That doesn't matter. It's because it negates X3s. That's pretty tough. Yeah. Leonin War Leader is a really solid rare. And that does not get that definitely goes over Chain Whirler.
So you're not buying it, you're not pre-ordering any of these dragons.
The
Elder Dragons.
The Elder Dragons. I actually did say in the Discord, I bought 4 Chromium at $6. I just feel like I'm not losing there.
I don't think you're losing.
But there's these Dragonlander legends under $5 just seems wrong. I don't know. $5 or less, even if Chromium doesn't go anywhere, I feel like they can all just still maintain $5.
Yeah.
$4 or $5. You're not really losing. Now Nicol Bolas, I'm trying to look at the mythics that I feel either one's gonna mega spike because of all these cards going down. No, I don't want to add them to the tracker because I'm not really I don't want to highlight them that way, but I just feel they could probably maintain $5. But so I was looking at the mythics that I feel if a lot of if Crucible, Omniscience, Scapeshift, those are all going to lose value. Are there a couple mythics that drastically spike? Resplendent Angel is definitely powerful.
I was thinking Ajani
on its own. Ajani is really good, man.
I was thinking Ajani
is really solid.
And look, I don't like the new Liliana, because I don't know if the zombie deck is there, but I hear everybody. I've been in the Discord. I've been seeing all the chatter. So yeah, if a zombie deck emerges, clearly Liliana is going to be core. So yeah, Liliana is one of those, in my opinion, it's going to be $5 or it's going to be $25.
But the, I mean, the problem is it's like, it doesn't, yeah, it kind of protects itself, I guess, but you do need zombies in order to do that. I just feel like Ajani is really good.
I think Ajani is the planeswalker set.
Ajani is really good.
What's the pre-order price on Ajani? I'm not
it's like actually, $15.
Okay, yeah, that's too high.
Yeah. Chromium also feels like it could be really strong, even as like a one-off control finisher.
Yeah, it feels like kind of feels like Ojutai. Feels like Ojutai.
It feels like it just puts everyone on a clock. Like, I get to 7 mana, I play Chromium. You really can't do anything about this.
It's much better than Azor, I'll say that much.
Oh, it's a lot better than Azor. That had to be one of your worst. I don't know what I was. I just, you said it. I did not say anything. I just let you roll with it. I did not even try to talk you out of it. Maybe I was a bad friend.
No problem.
I was a bad friend there, I think. I was a bad friend, I think.
Oh, gosh.
Friends shouldn't let other friends pick Azor. For their kids.
Friends don't let friends pick Azor. I like it. Well, I don't know. Poppy thinks that maybe Chromium is going to be your Azor. Like, it's going to be $3.
No, I think I have a much better chance with Chromium than you do with Azor.
Yeah, I was like, it's a revelation.
I'm gonna get destroyed on Chromium going forward because every pre-order. See, the problem is what sucks with pre-orders is even if you do well, like with Jade Light Ranger, eventually it just bites you because like 30 to 60 days later, it just ends up dropping huge percentages anyway. But yeah. I can't put Chromium on there now because it's like $15.
You can't. Don't do it, Chad.
Don't do it. Man, Nicole Bolas is really good, pretty solid on its front side as well. Like, that's just pretty good overall. A 4-mana 4/4 with evasion, and they discard a card.
Yeah,
and
no,
they're probably going to have to kill it, so at worst, it's like a 2-for-1.
But the pre-orders are too high on that one.
Yeah, it's like almost $30 or something, like $25 or something.
Yeah, it's too much. It's too high.
Put in your buy price. Yeah, but the problem is it's like $6 was on like one website. Like, you can't really do that. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, that was not a opportunity that many people have, you know? And like, it's like the same thing with Resplendent Angel. Like, I know some sites like had them up for like $10-$12, but it really wasn't that cheap for that long. So I don't know. There really wasn't a huge opportunity. I think Ajani's really good.
Yeah, I think that might be the walker that breaks out.
Seems it's just really solid, yeah. I mean, I guess that's pretty much it. Oh, wait, hold on. Chromium will be $3 by September. A 1/1 clock. What? No, it's a 7/7 with flying.
Yeah, it's a 7/7. Only if you have to give it hexproof does it become a 1/1. If they try and target it with removal.
You just blank their Vraska's Contempt.
Yeah.
And then they block, and then it's awkward. Oh man, that's gonna suck. But it's gonna suck when they're like Land of War Elves takes out your Chromium. But hey, they had to waste that. They had to waste Vraska's Contempt anyway. So you know,
Phil, you made a point that I was gonna talk about. Settle the Wreckage is $8 right now, and I think that card could become. Well, it already is important, but I think it could become increasingly important again in Standard as we move out of the summer. I think that could get back up to $13-$14. Chaz, what do you think? Settle.
Yeah, but I mean, we're buying at 8, so it maybe goes back to 12. Like, what are we doing with that?
I mean, well, I think 8 to 13 is pretty meaningful.
Yeah, I guess if you can out them to like buy list at 10. Maybe I guess 13. I mean, I don't know. Fees, you get killed by fees, man. That's not enough.
I mean, I don't see if it goes lower. I mean, if it gets $6 or $7, it's a staple.
Roscoe's Contempt was like $15.
Yeah,
but Settle was like pretty much just there. I mean,
Settle
they're not going to stay $15. Like, these inevitably are going to drop, and I don't think they're going to go back unless it's literally like if rotation happens in October and it's literally all control. Then yeah, I think Settle can go right back to 15. So I would wait for Settle to settle. a little lower during the summer.
Yeah, look, I mean, if we get through the summer, it's, I mean, I'm a buyer at $6, $7. Well, okay, it's $8 now.
Like
maybe not now.
$6 would be solid.
$6 is, I mean, yeah, that's, can't go wrong at $6.
Yeah, so a quick addendum. Chromium can't be blocked when you use the ability. So
That's right. Now, Chromium is a house. It's a house.
Yeah. It does get hosed by Settle the Wreckage, but I mean, what creature doesn't? So
yeah, everything does. Yeah. But you get lands, so you know.
Yeah, you do.
Value if they settle.
Yeah, a lot of value.
Okay.
Man, I Core Set 2019 is awesome. I'm really real quick before we go. So Mirage of Hope, one of our admins on Discord, wanted me to cover. So did you Cass, so many good reprints are being put into regular pack price packs. I feel like this is a pattern that is going to mean a lot to financiers in the future. So we talked about this, I discussed with Mirage that we talked about this during the Battle Bond, when we talked about Battle Bond. I feel like that is definitely a better recipe for success.
Totally agree.
I don't even feel like you need the problem is with Master Sets is not that they're they can still end up being bad, but you still get a lot of reprints out there in mass, right? Like so,
set
is reprints, and while a card like Jace may not be hit as much. Those random $20, $15 rares, Oriok Champion and stuff like that, that's really where the significant drops are.
And you have to remember, Master Sets allows them to charge $10 a pack instead of $4 a pack.
I think the problem is what people are starting to realize is that they can put marquee reprints into a $4 pack and still get the same feeling of a Master Set.
I agree.
I don't even think they need Master Sets anymore. I think Master Sets are done. They are a thing of the past. They always end up being bad, no matter what people's perception of it are. And you can literally just make a set like Battle Bond and add the same couple of mythics that people want, and they'll be happy. You can get the same amount of stimulus out of putting Liliana the Veil, a couple other really good monarch cards into a set like Battle Bond, and people will be super happy because they're not paying $10 a pack. They still get to draft the set, and it's really fun. And there's this, multiplayer or whatever gimmick they come up with. Not really a gimmick. I don't want that draft stuff anymore, conspiracy. It kind of sucks. But, I mean, you still get some really worthwhile cards. But you still get that stimulus regardless.
Yeah.
So, there was no Crucible in any of those Master Sets. People are ticked off or whatever. They don't, no Master Sets, no Scape Shift. They put it into a set Core 19, and you still get the same satisfaction. And they're only paying $4.
I would actually argue that it's a little bit more exciting because you're wow, Core Set, and it's got Scape Shift. And
right. Oh, my God. Definitely. Yeah, even more. Yeah, you could definitely argue that.
Yeah.
Long term, I think $10 packs means less product enters the market, so reprints will tank less and recover more quickly. Yeah, exactly.
That's true.
That's why you needed five Master Sets to finally make a dent on Tarmogoyf. And at the end of the day, you don't want to crater these prices, and you do want to drastically lower the price rather than crater all these prices. But I mean, at the end of the day, it just ends up building more frustration in players because there's not a significant decrease in playables, as game pieces to go and play modern. Then there is we don't want to ruin this mystique of Magic, getting value out of it. I mean, you're still getting value out of it. The value of, you're getting the value of? You're shifting the value of them having to buy $90 Tarmogoyfs. They're spending less on Tarmogoyfs, and they're going to more GPs.
Right.
Right. So they're going to more FNMs. They're going to and buying more product, whatever. So that's, I think people really lose sight on that. People don't want to spend the $120 per Tarmogoyf. If they want to go play Magic, that is more beneficial to you than not dropping the price, on Tarmogoyf as quickly.
Yeah. And to the point of Masters Sets, I think it's pretty evident that we're not going to get one this year. Thank goodness.
Yeah. I don't expect one for a while. I think, you said this a while ago. I'm definitely on board with that now.
Yeah. I think they're going to take a break from it. And that's I love it. I think
they should.
That's fantastic for the marketplace.
They should. And again, like I said this on the BattleBond Pass, what can whatever Master Set is doing, BattleBond can do better. And at $4 a pack. I mean, I don't see the need for Master Sets anymore. I don't. Enough of the, I can argue at this point that enough of the commons and uncommons, like Street Race, you know, whatever, that started to get a little out of control, you know, some of the rares like Oriok Champion, like those are going to take a long time to recover, if at all, at this point. So you pretty much did your job with Master Sets. I don't think you need them anymore. You don't need a Master Set to put in Goblin War. I mean, come on. Like, you could put that into literally anything and it will crater the price.
I think you do need Master Sets for things like Fetchlands, though. And
you don't really. Lillian. No, you don't. You don't. You really don't.
I don't think they want Fetchlands in Standard, or they're highly
Yeah, they don't want Fetchlands in Standard, but you could have had Fetchlands in BattleBond.
In like, a BattleBond.
Who cares? What's the point? Yeah. What's the difference? That's what those sets are there for. Or Fetches in a Commander set. You put one Fetch in each set. Are you serious?
Yeah.
You know, there's so much to do. The only thing that I agree with you is like it's hard to reprint cards like Tarmogoyf and Lilianna the Veil. Like, what set do you put that in?
Well, and they also do like to make $10 a pack. I mean, there's a straight business
motivation. Of course they do. But you know. Yeah.
So there's that. But yes, fundamentally, I agree
but
with you.
But they don't have like record breaking numbers for Master Sets. They have record breaking numbers for sets like Dominaria.
Yeah. Well, nowadays.
Vegas, what, like 3 years ago had like epic turnout for one of the Master Sets. That's great. I mean, I think it was longer than that now. But, you know, at the end of the day, they're not coming out like every Master Set that's come out is like breaking record margins.
Right.
Sets like Dominaria are. So I don't know. Yeah, you definitely don't want Fetches. I don't think there's ever going to be Fetches in Standard again.
Yeah.
All right. I think that wraps it up. Wrap it up. I don't got anything this right now. Maybe I'll find something that I like for tonight, but I don't got anything. I mean, I was literally, I mean, Tarkan was, we were there for, I have no notes throughout the week of even something that I liked. I was looking far and wide for anything to even upload to the tracker, and I got nothing.
Yeah. I got a couple here. Couple foils that I pulled off from interest that I think are interesting. Leyline of Singularity, it's $8 right now market. I think that's a very interesting foil. Makes all your all your permanents legendary. I don't remember what it is. I think it's just straight up all your permanents are legendary. Anyways, really fun card for the casuals that like the legendaries. Foil's only $8. I could see that easily doubling up to being a $16 foil. Next one I have is Wirewood Lodge, which is the land from, I think it's Onslaught, and it allows you to pay a green, tap and untap an elf. Kitchen Table loves its elves, so that foil I think is about $12. I think that's easily a $25 land in foil. These both are specifically foil. Another card I wanted to talk about really quick, just point out, was Kodama's Reach. I've noticed this has been selling increasingly at the $4 or $5 mark, and they can be found for around between $2 and $3. And it's gotten some gains on interests as well. It's grown for market price. I wouldn't be surprised if the, particularly the commander versions, if these things continue to be able to be sold at around $5. So if you can get them around $2, I think they're definitely a buy. And the last thing I want to talk about was the Shocklands, which people have been talking about. And I actually just got a question of from an insider. Everyone's assuming they're going to be reprinted. I'm still not 100% confident. I know I'm probably wrong about that. It's probably an 80% chance that they are reprinted, but for some reason I have this sense that they could throw a curveball and not reprint them, considering we're getting three back-to-back Ravnica sets. Maybe they spread them out, but maybe they don't reprint them at all. But I would be watching the Ravnica or the Shocks, and if they start to dip any lower due to people just thinking they're going to get reprinted, I think they're buys. Because if they go down, I think that the demand for them will be enough to not have you take a bath on them if they do get reprinted, right? So if they tank another 20-25%, I think that you are not reprinted. Yes. If they're not reprinted, no, I don't want you to track all 10 shocks. I'm just talking about that. all here. I'm just talking about it as a quick topic since we're on picks. But I'm not making them as a pick. I'm just saying that if the shocks are not reprinted, they absolutely go up. And I think that people suspect they're going to be reprinted. And so therefore, through the summer and into the fall, they're going to dip. And I think that if they are reprinted, there's going to be such a flurry of demand for them that at their buy-in price, when you get in, if they drop another, we'll say 20%, I don't think you're going to be losing any money. So I would be watching shocks and seeing how much they go down. And I think if they dip 20-25%, they're fine to buy, even with threat of reprint. And if they don't get reprinted, then the sky's the limit. Disagree, third printing supply will exceed demand. Yeah, I mean, that's possible, but I don't think we're going to end, $2 shocks. I don't see them being like Painlands. So that's it for me. Those are my picks and my topics on specific cards. Settle the Wreckage, I think that's still interesting. Maybe not buy it now at 8. If it gets to 6, I think it's a buy. It's a staple. I think that once, especially around rotation, it could end up being a powerhouse again for the control decks. Especially, I think there's tokens. If tokens becomes a thing, Settle might become increasingly important. So
was Settle in the one of the Challenger decks?
That is a good question.
I believe it was. I don't know. Let me double check. Okay. Let's see. Settle. Yes, as a one of. So that's not too bad.
Not too bad.
Yeah, it should be. That should still be okay. I think the reason it did dip at all was because of that.
Well, I think it should still be okay.
Yeah.
Like
I said, I think you're on point, Chaz. I think it's $6. It's a no brainer. Above that, yeah, you might be taking a little bit of risk, but I think $6 is easy.
Yeah. Okay, I mean, just settle is so important.
Yeah.
I think that wraps it up, man.
Yeah, that wraps it up for this first cast. We will see everyone later today, or tonight, rather. So that's going to wrap it up for this QS cast. Where can they find you, Tark?
Yep. On Twitter, I'm at @the_Tark, T-A-R-K. I help the guys out at the MTG Finance Central Facebook page. You can chat with me there and the QS Discord.
Yep. Best place to find me is the QS Insider Discord. You can find my work on Quiet Speculation. All right, folks, thanks for joining us this morning. We'll see you later for our guest. Looking forward to it. That's going to sign us off for this cast. Take care, everyone.
8:30 p.m. Central Time.
Yep.
See ya.
Later.